B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Happy Monday. What's up, Zoe?
Hey, Beetle, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Great.
No glitches so far for you. This is good.
Yeah. No glitches to this point. Got a new line in here.
Keep both fingers crossed.
See what's going on. What's good with you?
Since I guess the weekend's over, right? And as we talked about last week, all these days run together. We thought, or at least I thought, that Wednesday was Thursday. And I was looking forward to the next day being Friday, which meant the weekend was here, which it wasn't. And nothing changes for us, man. It's the same thing every day. Every day.
The days just start blending together, don't they?
Oh, we get texts from the family and that, and like, what's going on? What'd you do? Same thing we did yesterday. Same thing. Anything
same
new? Nope.
Thing
same.
We did the day before. Yesterday, though, you had something fun to watch on television.
You know what?
Super Bowl 51.
I mean, you were there with me in the booth when we called the game. You know, it's Super Bowl weeks are long for us because we work Radio Row an entire week. And then, you know, when you win, it takes a while to get back to town. Then you do the parade and you kind of forget about the game for a little bit. And then you have the big specials, you know, whether it was Sound FX or the NFL Network's, you know, Sounds of the Season. And you hear the highlights. And sometimes they dub our voice over it, Nat. And I said last week it was too early for me to get into the Brady stuff. I know ESPN ran it all day. But this is the first time I think I've watched that game from start to finish, the Atlanta Super Bowl down in Houston.
So last weekend was too soon. This weekend, not too soon.
This weekend, you know, you're starting to get, like
just
I said,
so
time. Absorb the reality, right? And I just think that game, I would just love to watch the ending of that game and the second half of the Seattle Super Bowl out in Arizona. Yeah, those are my two favorite. So, other than that, I'm good with all other games, really.
Yeah, I watched that game yesterday because that was the first time I had seen most of it on TV. I'd never gone back and watched it, you know, start to finish, and I picked it up, I think, middle of the first quarter, so I missed some of it and then missed a little bit of the – but for the most part, sat down and watched it. So some of the stuff we were talking about, like on our text yesterday, yeah. Beetle, like I had no idea about Deion Lewis, like, going to the sideline like that it was, like, that apparent, like –
I mean the last play where he, like, pulled his hamstring.
Yeah, the last.
I forgot about it. I thought it was a Hail Mary they tried. I totally forgot. He almost ripped his hammy up there. I forgot about the damn throwback to Deion Lewis.
I was watching it from level 600 or whatever it was, and it was, you know, great. I just loved being there, but I had no idea that was going on down on the sideline. And to me, it was interesting to watch it from a TV perspective toward the end, and I know that it was edited, like they had to have edited out part of the Edelman catch. Like, I'm sure that went on for longer than it did on the replay yesterday, the review of it. But the end of the game felt very much like it felt in the stadium. Like, are you sure it's over? Because I mean, James White, yeah, he got in, but I've seen other angles of it since then where it's like, oh, you could definitely debate it. But the call on the field, they stuck with that. But watching it in the stands, it was like, I know the confetti's dropping down, but watching Brady's reaction, certainly watching Edelman's reaction, who was like all excited at first, and then he
got to go to review. Brady calmed everybody down. It's got to go to review.
And that's how I kind of felt watching it live, too. So I was glad, or I guess interested maybe is the best way of putting it, to see that it really wasn't that different watching it on TV. I thought on TV you had a more clear, definitive, yes, it's over. No, it just kind of like ended. And, you know, even one of the announcers said something like, good luck putting all the confetti back in the cannons and trying to, you know, finish this game now because it's over. They're celebrating.
You're right. You're right on that last play because Aikman went dead silent. They're showing a review and James White's extended. You can see he's like, he's horizontal, you know, with the ground. And Buck had to jump in and said, I think he's in. I gotta agree with you, Joe. You know, Aikman didn't want to touch that one.
I've never been more sure that he was in than watching yesterday with all the angles.
Yeah. You know what, Beetle? Yeah. I'm glad you said that because when you go online and you start doing, like, you know, conspiracy theory, investigating, looking at – I was actually convinced a few months back – I have no idea what I was looking at a few months back – that he wasn't in, that the knee was down. Watching it yesterday, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's in.
There wasn't enough to overturn touchdown. And that's what that's why they rolled with it.
They had plenty of time to review it. And so I know that people have said, did they fully review it? Based on one of those angles, yeah, they did. And it wasn't that hard to figure out. He broke the plane. Remember, all he's got to do is hit the white. He doesn't have to get over the white. He's
front edge.
To the white.
Get to that front edge.
It's all you have to do.
But the anguish on Matt Ryan's face when things started to unravel and him pacing. And, you know, we really did, like, how... If you're Arthur Blank's a smart businessman, head should have rolled after that game. And it's funny because all the offensive people there ended up getting bigger jobs down the road. They ended up firing like Pepper Johnson after that. Defensive guys got canned. And they stuck with the offensive guys. Like, there's Matt Ryan with all this talent around him, all these backs. And the way that game was called offensively for Atlanta down the stretch, it was pure stupidity. It really was. As well as New England played, a lot of that is on Atlanta, too. It really is. And that just emphasized it. Like,
oh, yeah, how's they needed both.
Yeah, I mean, like, the elevation of Kyle Shanahan, this guru. Like, my God. And look what happened. Look how it unraveled in this past Super Bowl, for him in San Francisco.
So yesterday was not too soon for you now. You're able to now consume Tom Brady games, which is that's good. What was your big takeaway from all this yesterday as you watched? What were you thinking yesterday?
How cool and precise, how calm he was down the stretch. Yes. And I tweeted this one. That throw to Danny Amendola, in live time when he threw it. I remember when it was released, when the ball was released from his hand at its apex. And Amendola was still making his move up on a defender to get him inside to cut so he could break out right to the sideline. And that ball was put on a dot. That, to me, it may be 4th and 10, down the seam out in Denver when he hit Gronkowski. Those, I think, may be the two greatest Brady throws that I can recall. Because that one, when Amendola caught that one, you knew they were going to win the game. And that's when I turned and looked at you. I'm like, if they get in, they win, right? And you're like, yes. Yes. I said, okay, just keep telling
that
me that.
Real question.
Because I'm like, they're gonna freaking score. They're going to freaking score here. You knew they were going to go in. And especially after he was a 2nd and long, and he stepped up in the pocket, and he hit Edelman. There were some throws, man, in tight windows. I know he had some luck, too, in a deflection where Edelman makes that great catch. But the other thing I took away is reflected to this past season where you had no tight end. You lose Rob Gronkowski, you still had Martellus Bennett. You had two high-level, big-time, professional tight ends, guys that could play the position. And you didn't have that this year. You never addressed it. You knew Gronk could potentially go down, so what'd you do? You had Martellus Bennett come in. That guy played well. That guy played well all year. All these things, you start putting through your head how well Brady was there down the stretch. And it was the next year he actually had an MVP season and then threw for 505. And you're looking statistically at the end numbers, this guy threw for 1,000 yards in back-to-back Super Bowls, and he still wanted to go year to year. Like, we're not going to add to this contract.
You want to read your text from yesterday at 5:45 p.m.?
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end. That was the beginning of the end of Brady. Here.
Here's the text from Zoe at 5:45 yesterday. We start here tomorrow. How did they not do a Breeze deal? 5:05 in the loss next year, as you just mentioned, Zoe. 1,000 yards back-to-back. This replay really makes it feel worse.
2 for 50. Like, Beto, we've talked about this. 2 for 50. All we've done was just add 2 years to the end of this past deal. And he would have probably retired after this next season because you would have given him that security to retire a Patriot.
And then even Brody. Brody on his birthday weekend, Zoe, happened to ask you, why is he in Tampa? Why is
Dad,
he in Tampa?
That's the thing. Like, nobody wanted to watch the game. I watched the whole game because I want to recall how bad it was in that first half. The blunt fumble. The kick off the upright as you're making the comeback. Why are they kicking a field goal? I remember yelling and screaming out of the booth, why are they kicking a field goal? You got to put it in the end zone here. You're down so many points. And then the whole family started to come down at the end of the third quarter when they start to make the comeback. And everybody's on the edge of their seats and they're looking at the screen. Yes, he makes the catch. Like, we know what happened, but it brought you back. It really did. It's the first time watching, a replay of I've seen it in clips. But I've not seen it in its entirety. It's the first time I watched that Super Bowl in its entirety. And it was a fun way to spend your Sunday afternoon. I wonder what the local Fox 25 rating was for that. We're going to get that sucker pulled. Because I don't know what else you were doing that time. But it's pretty good to rekindle some of that from the past.
I was just happy you didn't get cut off before the end for whatever coronavirus press conference thing.
Oh yeah,
I was convinced it was going to happen.
Like, right, stay with it. Stay with it.
2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. No, not now.
Can't do it. You knew going in that was a potential. Like, that could happen. Yeah, we got to roll with it. Everybody wants to see the comeback.
But generally speaking, you now feel worse about Brady leaving after rewatching the game.
You scratch your head more. That's all.
Yeah. Remembering greatness.
Tell me where you're watching any of that, or the next year, or the Rams Super Bowl year, or even this past year, where you look at it and say, boy, there's the wall, there's a decline.
All right, you also sent us a Brady interview from 2016 over the weekend.
It was posted. Mike Lynch had, yep. I think it was when he opened his Under Armour store.
All right, it was with Mike Lynch. We're going to play that. We're going to have that.
Lynch had a one-on-one.
Because
yeah.
You're going to tell us why that interview is significant and why it stood out to you all these years later. We'll do that coming up next. Also, already getting some feedback. Mr. Scott Zolak may have the internet gremlins today. I think it's you today, dude, not me.
Oh.
I wasn't going to mention it, but yeah.
How bad is it?
It's not great.
It's not ideal.
Okay. Beetle, you got a guy, you said. I mean.
I do have a guy. I can get you in touch with the guy to get a guy.
Well, we probably have, I don't know, 5 people on it right now.
You might want to kick some of those family members off.
We got school.
Zoe's going to tell us about this interview with Mike Lynch, Tom Brady and Mike Lynch from 2016, and what stood out to him now, all these years later. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hi, guys. I hope we're all staying home and staying safe, but hopefully we're also staying active too, because we got to give our body what it needs at this time to support a healthy immune system. And I got a few simple TB12 tips for you. The first is a positive mindset that we can overcome anything that we're faced with, and I know we're going to overcome this. We got to stay hydrated. We got to give our body what it needs in order to support itself with nutrient-dense vegetables. Mom, you'd be very proud of me for saying that. I know I wasn't great at that as a kid. We got to get some vitamin D. Get in the sun if you can. Try to get some extra vitamin C and zinc. They're great immune boosters. Dad, we got to skip the added sugars, especially at this time. Get some extra protein in you. And a couple more things. One, sleep. Get your rest and recovery. Get on a regular schedule. And then last, we got to stay active for at least 30 to 60 minutes a day. So that's how we're going to stay healthy. That's how we're going to stay safe. And I know we're going to get through this together.
Hey.
617-779-0985. Zoe watched Super Bowl 51 yesterday and is more upset about Brady leaving. That's what happened yesterday. That was Brady, by the way, on Instagram yesterday with his healthy tips.
Tampa quarterback, right?
That's right. Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady.
Boy, he quickly moved into some abode.
Yeah, where
How long was
that?
This in the works?
Where's that house?
That's in Tampa. That's not Costa Rica.
You know that it's Tampa? How do you know it's not Miami?
He had another post, I think, on a boat. Great way to social distance. His kids are jumping off a lifeguard stand. You can see that bridge in Tampa over the background.
Oh, okay.
I think he's got a house on the water right there in Tampa.
I mean, I don't know. For a family that's got $500 million in net worth, I don't think finding a house is all that hard.
That's pretty cool. You could just say, "What's the? Give me a 20,000 square foot house you guys got for rent for a couple months or maybe a couple of years."
I mean, those houses do exist.
It's easy,
surprisingly, turnkey. Yeah. I mean, it's like for you or I renting a hotel room.
Seriously, go on B&B. Or Airbnb, whatever the hell that thing's called.
You think you went Airbnb. On Airbnb to get that?
No, but I mean, there are really nice houses on Airbnb.
All right, so let's hear this interview from 2016. Why did this stand out to you, Zoe?
Because he was asked the question about finishing as a Patriot and who would last longer as a member of the organization. Who would retire first, him or Bill? And he answered it. So,
seen some guys traded, some guys leave over the years. Can you ever imagine yourself in another uniform other than the Patriots?
I hope not. I mean, this has been my home for 17 years, so I never want to go anywhere else. I mean, I hope they never want me to go anywhere else either, but, you know, that's the business, and, you know, I got to keep playing well and doing my job, and, if I do that, then hopefully RKK and Bill will find a place for me.
Have you thought about life after football? Given it any thought at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Good. Well, final question. Who remains a Patriot longer, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
I don't see him retiring anytime soon either, and I don't find myself retiring anytime soon either, so we'll see. We'll see. Hey,
thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thanks, Mike.
Did you hear the question? The question to him or that he posed, like, I got to do my job. As long as I do my job and I play well, they're going to have to keep me. Right? Like, tell me where he didn't do that. Tell me where he didn't help elevate you to a contender or championship level. And obviously, this past year, you're still 12-4. Beat Miami and you got a bye. And maybe things go differently in that next game. I don't know. I don't know. Business. I don't want to go anywhere else. And hopefully they don't want me to go anywhere else. And that was the opening of an Under Armour store down in Copley, right? Prudential, I think. So
I feel like that was more recent than 2016.
But, like, that's right there, the beginning of, I don't want to say the fracture or whatever, right? But right there, did he know that? When did his dad talk? That was 14, right?
Yeah. Ahead of the Super Bowl against Seattle.
Like, it's going to end badly. So it obviously was talked about between both of them, meaning the father and the son. But, yeah, he said Bill's not retiring anytime soon, nor am I. But he didn't think about postseason. Like, when did he really start to really get involved with the TB12? You know, post-playing career? Because obviously he is thinking about that. Or he wouldn't be doing and putting himself out there to try and do the things he's doing. Right, to enhance that lifestyle or to draw attention to it. That's become more evident, I think, in the last 2 years. And here we are. What's next week? The Eagles Super Bowl next Sunday? Probably won't re-air that one.
Yeah, I don't think there's a... Well, they did sort of re-air the highlights of that one last week, but you were too emotionally distraught to watch.
Yes. No, I was.
So the rest of us were able to see some of that game. Which was good. All right, so I still don't get the takeaway here. So in 2016, Brady knew this was going to happen. Is that what you're suggesting?
I mean, we got to go back 4 years right there, where you're still being asked this question, who's going to last longer as a Patriot? And he actually said, I don't want to go anywhere. When did he want to start going anywhere? Was it really this year? Was it in August?
Never.
He took the franchise tag off?
Anywhere.
Well, I think he tried to get that bargaining chip in August to put pressure on them and say, okay, yeah, we're going to move on. Mutual split, right? Separation, not a divorce. I don't know. I go back and forth on this.
No, divorce. How is it not a divorce? It's definitely a divorce.
Because he can still play, right? He can still play at a high level. That's the thing.
And like, the two guys involved, him and Belichick, are pissed at each other. Yeah, right, divorce.
No offense here. Drew Bledsoe, who's a very good friend of mine, Bill traded him within a division. He knew he maximized his talent. Like, we're good. I see something here moving up, moving on. And that's when Brady beat out, you know, Damon Hewitt. That, okay, we're ready to go with Tom. I'll be good facing Drew twice a year.
Yeah, and then Tom won a Super Bowl, and then they traded Drew. It wasn't like...
Yeah, I know that, but...
They had traded him before the season.
But he still traded him in division. I mean, Bill has moved guys elsewhere to where he's not going to see him, you know? Like, it's almost like he wanted to see him twice a year. I don't know.
All right, 617.
I just don't see the decline with Brady again, watching that game and then watching the last 2 years after.
So who are you upset with for that, then?
And a little bit of it is both, because he changed the way he approached things in the offseason, too. Right? Got to fill that bucket up. Like, I think he's getting pressure from her to stay home.
So you think that that's part of the reason why he's not here?
It could be, if people look at it. And I've got people jumping on me all over social media. Well, he's not the same guy, though, you know? And he didn't want to bond with his new teammates. Now, he showed up and ready to go to me in camp. I didn't see him missing throws in camp, did you? I call games. No. I see if there's separation. I could anticipate if the coverage is splitting and the tight end has a step and it's Gronk. Oh, he's going to Gronk here on this one. I don't see any massive holes. You're sitting behind me at games. You see guys breaking away. You see guys wide ass open. And I'm not, when I say wide ass open, I'm saying you got to step on somebody, not that you're behind a guy 5 yards. That's a blown coverage to me. When you have guys 5, 10 yards wide open, those are blown coverages. Like that catch Julio Jones made on sideline. That's one of the greatest catches I ever saw. You couldn't have had better coverage. Quarterback should have thrown the ball there. Matt Ryan should have never thrown that ball to Jones. It should have been picked. But I don't know. I didn't see it all year. I just did not see guys getting open. Every single pass was contested. And when that happens, you get frustrated as a quarterback. And I think that played into his frustration.
Hey, Hardy, would you be taking advice from TB12 and TB12 Sports to prevent coronavirus? Does that seem like the resource you would go to first?
Of course I would, Beetle. It's a magic elixir. It's a cure-all, I say.
I'm surprised they haven't bottled anything yet for sale.
Well, zinc, I mean, they do say zinc and vitamin C. I'm looking outside. Sun's not out today, so I'm not getting any sun. And Jesus, every time somebody goes out to get sun, everybody's yelling at each other.
You know...
You see those pictures, those morons over the weekend? Everybody out at the parks and stuff?
And I don't know that anybody's, like, come to, you know, like a 100% agreement as to, like, you know, what's best, what's not. I was talking to a friend over the weekend who, like, maybe had some symptoms, and someone they were around had like, a mild exposure but hadn't tested positive, and this person has asthma on top of it. Ugh. And they said, like, oh, well, you know, I'm still, you know, I was still running. I'm like, oh, you should probably stop running and, you know, stop going outside because of the allergies. And he said, no, my doctor said, keep running. It was good for the lungs. I'm like, well, anything I know is wrong then. Like, anything commonsensical about this, I guess you can just throw out the window. So I don't know. Maybe Brady does have the answer. But some of the answers you think are there and obvious and common sense, they're not. So what do any of us know? And I think that you probably can't even get the doctors to agree on stuff like that. But what do you say? 30 minutes of 30 minutes to an hour a day. Okay, I'm good on that.
What do you do after that?
Well,
hey, Marcus Smart's
good. I can't
good,
account
though,
for your entire day, Zoe.
Marcus,
you know?
Smart's good. He could go do whatever he wants now. He's cured.
Oh, thank you.
He beat it.
I was sitting here thinking, what am I going to talk about in my headlines here in another minute and a half? Marcus Smart, good to go. Thank you. I forgot about that.
Congratulations.
No, I just, you know, it's just that I'm not sure I would take coronavirus advice from the guy who says if you drink a lot of water, you won't get sunburned.
Do we know that's not true, though, Beto?
I mean, see, I get sunburned, and I don't drink a lot of water.
See?
What the hell does science know?
Yeah, I'd never drink water, and I'll burn to a crisp. Maybe he's onto something.
Back of a boat. Mouth's all dry.
And now NFL endorsed as well on their social media, as I saw yesterday. They were tweeting about it, tweeting out the link to that video, and tweeting out a link to his website. So that's what the NFL's going with. That's what the NFL's going to send their players. Listen to TB12. That'll be the new league doctor, Tom Brady, for the National Football League. 617-779-0985. All right, well, that was the weekend with Super Bowl 51. And with everything that went on yesterday in reliving Super Bowl 51 and the emotional roller coaster of Tom Brady's not here anymore, let's get to the here and now with the New England Patriots. Some developments over the weekend, some things being talked about, something on Instagram from at least one Patriots receiver. We'll tell you all about it and sort of come back to earth on the Pats next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Early one morning while making the round, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. Went right home and I went to bed. I stuck that loving 44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed
Hardy's birthday
my
today. Happy birthday, Hardy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank
so
you.
So it's a birthday playlist today.
Yep.
Coming back every segment. Birthday playlist for Hardy.
You really like that song?
Hank Williams III. Yeah, Cocaine Blues.
Okay, so
hold on, the sheriff from Jericho Hills is walking in now.
I know you're that rednecky.
You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down.
That's right.
I thought we were talking about the people in Maine, which we're going to get to.
Hey, this isn't Hank Williams Jr. This is his son. This is
right,
Hank,
the third. I heard that.
Hank the third. Right.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
For your own personal enjoyment.
If you show up at a Hank show and he looks out in the crowd and he sees a bunch of like cowboy hats, he'll just do an all punk rock set just to piss people off.
So it was his dad that shouted Obama, or was it his grandfather?
It was his dad who shouted Obama. But if he looks out, if Hank the Third shows up to do a show and he sees a bunch of punk rock kids out there, then he'll do all country stuff. He's an antagonizer.
I like her. Nuts.
You're not going to like them all, though. So. You'll like the next one. I guarantee you'll like the next one.
I bet.
Obama!
I forget what the question was.
It was about what?
No, you're talking about the enemy. Yeah, he was talking about
it was like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. Remember that? That was his line.
I was in a closed door with Netanyahu. Jesus.
Stupid moron he is. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Over the weekend, more Jarrett Stidham hype. Gilmore on Stidham. This would be Stephon Gilmore. Says he came in and worked hard and got better and better as the year went on. He has a strong arm, Gilmore said. He makes some tough throws. Definitely made it hard on me in practice each and every week going against whoever I was covering, making some great throws. It allowed me to get better in practice to prepare for the game. Stephon Gilmore talking about Jarrett Stidham. Is this real, or is he trying to pump up what he assumes will be his starting quarterback in the fall?
I think it's the latter. I mean, also, is he an accurate guy? Yeah, he was accurate. We've seen it. But, okay, who's the perimeter people he's throwing to in practice against Gilmore? So, I mean, you know the struggles you had at the ones with the ones and the twos. So if he's getting the threes and fours, shoot, man. Maybe he should have played the threes and the fours receivers instead of the ones and twos.
Which one of the ones and twos could Gilmore not cover on this team?
He went back and he got into it with Edelman pretty good a couple times. Those two guys compete. And Steph practice is hard. So,
By the way, Gilmore also said that he is not surprised by Brady's departure, which echoes what Kyle Van Noy told us at the end of last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He did an interview with Mike Reese, ESPN. And he did say that he was not surprised. He said a player like him playing somewhere that long, you can you never can see it, but it shows you that in the National Football League, it could be anyone going somewhere. It's a business, and that's how you have to look at it. So he was not surprised. Last week, Kyle Van Noy told us the writing was on the wall. That's what Kyle Van Noy said.
Yep.
And when we asked him to follow up, he said, oh, it's just that because he didn't get a contract by the time free agency opened. That was the writing on the wall. Yeah, I don't know if I totally buy that, but his initial thought was to say that we could see the writing on the wall. All right, so Gilmore talks about Stidham. That's pumping up Jarrett Stidham. Do you already feel this, though, going from talking about Super Bowl 51 and Tom Brady and being in it every year to now we're sitting here talking about Jarrett Stidham and N'Keal Harry posting on Instagram about silencing the doubters?
Well, I think that's more personal for him. I don't think that has to do anything with Brady or Stidham or, like, it sets him. And, you know, I missed half a year. He was behind the eight ball. There was a lot of criticism out there. It seems like he was always getting dinged up every time he touched the damn ball. I just think that's, I got to bounce back here, too. I got to come back better than ever.
Yeah, it says Harry posted on Instagram Saturday, and it said, quick to talk, but let's see how quick they'll be to bite that tongue. Hashtag LFG. Let's bleep and go.
Who said LFG?
What?
Who said LFG?
N'Keal Harry did.
Oh, okay. Well, you got that from Brady then.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That's a Brady Edelman thing, LFG.
Yeah. Well, that's what he put on Instagram over the weekend. Okay. This is now what we're talking about. We're talking about a quarterback who's never really played and a receiver who was a disappointment a year ago. And those are guys that are likely starters on day one of this coming season.
Yeah, I expect Harry to be a starter, sure.
Oof, that just feels different, doesn't it?
It's going to feel different, especially without OTAs, without workouts. You know, who's saying these guys can't get together on their own and throw? I'm sure they're doing some of that. You know, a little bit. It's what you do. I mean, you're going to get out there, you're going to get a receiver that you think's healthy, and he's been good for 2 weeks. I've been good for 2 weeks. I got to get out and throw. I got to throw a little bit.
Let's go to Camden in New Hampshire. Camden.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Second time caller. It's been a while. I just need like 20 seconds here. As Pats fans, I think we need to lower our expectations, and the media can actually set a fire under the team if they preach poor expectations. If we prepare for shitty games, bad game.
You almost caught yourself, which is impressive.
I don't. No,
nah, he didn't.
I don't think he did. I don't think he.
Well,
he
cut it short.
Didn't catch himself.
No, he said it, and then he went back and said it another way.
And the answer is no. I'm not doing that. Set the expectations low so that purposely change the take on the expectations to try and motivate the team. No thanks. I'm out on that. Call someone else to try and do that. Hardy, Zoe, you guys want to do that?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. The coach is too good. Sorry.
Yeah. Or just change your take to try and motivate a team? No.
Right.
No thanks. All good. 617-779-0985. And by the way, I don't think that's going to matter. The expectations are going to drive the team. Like,
no.
I mean, criticism might drive them, but that'll be once the games start.
Yeah. They're sensitive to it, though. Some guys are sensitive. Like Van
Noy's. He's looking for the nobody believed in us thing, right?
Well, that's
he's looking for that. Like
Hallmark. You're looking for the manufactured, you know, thing that doesn't exist, really.
Which the Patriots have always been really good at, though.
Yeah.
Patriots have been great at that over the years.
McCourty seems to be.
Nobody believes in us stuff.
McCourty seems to be the front guy, you know, talking about that, where, okay, yeah, Tom's gone. Write us off. I wouldn't write us off yet. You know, a lot of good players here.
Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire studios today. 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go to catch up on all the latest and also download our app, which is able to stream us wherever you go. If you're at home, obviously, you're not going very many places, make sure you tell your smart speaker to tune into 98.5 The Sports Hub. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub, that would be. And we've got a real treat for you coming up. A real treat. And it's from one of the NFL owners, Jim Irsay, over the weekend, wanting to try and cheer everybody up. That's the kind of guy that he is. He's a cheerful guy. He wanted to try and cheer everybody up. He had a special message on social media that we will bring to you. And also, we've got news to tell you about what we're going to play next hour. Another musical debut today from Derek in Foxborough. All the details on this.
Love the Sunday emails I get from him.
With Jim Irsay, next. Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hello, Colts Nation, NFL Nation, this nation and the world in general. Drake and I are here, my good buddy, and we're just bunkering down. Hey, look, we got to do with the president, Congress, the governors, just like our players do to the coaches. Follow the playbook. Do what they say. And trust me, the sun will rise. We will play games. We'll be united together. This is my little doggy Drake, and we're holed up here. And I'm just sending great wishes to everyone. And we're doing everything we can to get food to the children that aren't getting their meals at lunch. And just sending out a lot of love and good wishes. So, Drake, you go over here for a second. Okay. You okay there, buddy? Okay. Well, I just thought maybe just a touch of Bob Seger here might not be a negative thing. You know, everyone needs music in these times. So I'm getting adjusted here in my fancy chair.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking to you? Well, everybody needs music. Make them happy. Lunches, music. Drake, the dog. Did he say his name was?
I think he said Drake, yeah.
It's Drake.
Drake.
It's probably after the rapper.
It's Derek. This is my dog, Derek.
There's nobody that's ever named their dog Derek.
It's Derek Irsay. speaking of Derek,
Derek Charles Irsay.
Yeah. Derek and Foxborough sent more material over last night.
Yeah.
And we will debut his latest single at 11:36.
What's the name of the single?
I don't know. Does strippers? It have a name?
Is it just strippers?
I think it's
women
called
in women in a bar. I don't know.
Peelers.
I think it's called strippers.
I think it's called Jiggly Room.
That's coming up next hour. 11:35, 11:36. We'll do it there.
It's called the Foxborough Ballet.
What was the name? What's the name of Napoleon's? Was it cousin? Who ended up having the girlfriend LaFonda?
Kip.
They sent away
Kip,
for.
That's his brother.
His brother. Kip. His brother Kip.
Okay, brother Kip.
Yeah.
I'm starting to, I vision Derek that way.
Oh.
Like Kip. At the end of the movie when he had the bandana on, backwards.
With the chain.
That's yeah. Right.
I think that's a good visual. I like that.
That's the way I view Derek. Maybe
that's
it's different.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Irsay. Yeah, it's exciting.
It's exciting. I got my dog, Daryl Charles Browning Irsay here with me. Here, sit down there, boy. I'm going to start strumming. Now, he's really into music. He buys like million-dollar guitars, right, and he's got all the memorabilia. So I assumed that he could play. You know, you're into it. You must be able to play a little bit.
You would assume he's not Tommy Boy and he just doesn't collect stuff because daddy gave money.
Right.
Right. He bought one of Les Paul's guitars last year for like an insane amount of money,
mm-hmm,
which I remember seeing in an auction, I believe, somewhere.
So he must really know his way around the instrument. He himself, not too shabby. doing a little picking and a grinning. You know, he can take care of himself.
It was actually 2015. It had been a while. Right. 2015, he bought Les Paul's 1954 Black Beauty. Irsay paid $343,750, including commission, for the instrument at an auction presented in New York City. So if he's willing to drop $344K on a guitar, you'd think the guy probably knows how to play a guitar.
Right. Not that he's going to play Les Paul's guitar, but right. He knows enough about guitars to be able to play one and right. have it sound decent, right? Right?
Well, right.
Yeah, right. All right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Let's see how well he can play the guitar.
On the lawn. East of Omaha, you can hear the engines ringing. How is one lost song? Think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. That's all she wrote. Yeah, I am not Paul McCartney or John Lennon. But I love you all. God bless.
It's so bad. He can't even stay on the beat.
Well, the beginning when he's trying to find the note, it's like the Spinal Tap. Well, since my baby left me, I found no place to dwell.
Jesus. Why is he hitting it so
on,
hard?
On. No, I got to hear it. I'll find it here somewhere. Hold on. On. I will give him credit, though.
You will?
Yeah, because as it turns out, he was actually in the right key. Now, you don't know this unless you have perfect pitch, and I didn't know it, but when you do a little mix-up, a mash-up, as we call it, of him and Bob Seger, he's...
Oh, boy.
He's pretty close.
He doesn't have that...
No, he doesn't, which is why you need the mashup. But he's almost in tune and playing kind of the right chords. He's definitely got a beat the hell out of this thing strumming style. It's not, finesse is not his forte. But when you mix it in with Bob Seger, I got to say it sounds pretty good.
Well, I just thought maybe just a touch of Bob Seger here might not be a negative thing. You know, everyone needs music in these times. So I'm getting adjusted here in my fancy chair. On the long, ocean highway, east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moan. How is one lost song? You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. That's all she wrote. Yeah, I am not Paul McCartney or John Lennon. But I love you all. God bless.
He's not that far off.
It's not. I'm telling
it's
you.
It's really not.
He's
it's
playing just,
the voice is so bad. You know,
it's so bad.
And I'm so angry when I'm playing it.
Oh, it's terrible.
I hope he never plays one of those rare guitars that he buys because he's going to break it. He's going to break Les Paul's original Black Beauty, you know, with the pickups and the Innovator. He's just going to start strumming on that thing, and it's going to be a pile of matchsticks when he's done.
How many strings do you think he breaks? How many strings snap on him? Like, how often is he going to the Guitar Center to buy new strings?
He just has them shipped on a pallet to his house. He's strumming that thing with a frying pan. What are you doing? Oh, God. Well, you talk about someone who doesn't have anyone around him, anyone to like tell him no. That's somebody, I mean, presumably, though, somebody shot that. Somebody, you know, was doing the camera work for him, and they pressed end, and they said, yep, that's good. Let's put it out there.
Did you see the chair he was sitting in?
He talks about it. He says it's fancy.
It's like a throne.
Yeah. Like, it's like from Scarface.
No, like
Tony
from
Montana's chair.
Tiger King.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
It's like Joe Exotic and his throne.
That's exactly right. Oh, man. How do you think he's passing the time during coronavirus? That's a real question.
Oh, man.
How do we think Jim Irsay is passing the days? Oh, my. Oh, but he's not Lennon to McCartney. He'll tell you that himself.
Or
it's fair
Bob,
to say.
Or Bob Seger. He knows, yeah. He knows what he's doing. He's...
Oh, my. All right, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get into hour number two. We thought we'd have a little fun here and go down the road. This could be dangerous.
Why?
It could be dangerous in the sense that you just get upset about what you're not talking about right now. But how about what we would be talking about right now today if coronavirus was not impacting our lives the way that it is? That's the thought.
Okay.
What would we have been talking about today? We'll do that coming up. And any of your suggestions as well, 617-779-0985. There are no commercials here, just Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zo at home in Rentham. I'm at home in Quincy. We're doing it, baby. We're doing it.
We're here for you.
What would we be talking about today if it were not for being stuck in our home, Zo?
Okay.
What would we be talking about today?
What 12-5 upset that we have on our hands? Yeah, we'd be past that, right?
Yeah, we'd already be.
We're into April almost.
We'd already be through that.
Final Four would be next weekend, right?
We'd be getting ready for the Final Four right now. The
OTAs,
Red Sox,
beginning of OTAs, and Brady being there and not being here, you know?
The Red Sox opening weekend would have just came to an end.
There we go.
We'd be asking how good is Ron Renicke as a manager? How did his first few games go? Did he make any decisions in game? Did he make pitching changes that we could second guess?
Yep.
Did he, you know, hit and run at a time that he shouldn't have? Did, you know, all that fun stuff. Managerial second guessing would be going on right now on Ron Renicke.
We'd probably be talking about the starting pitching, like Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, is he a top of the rotation guy? What'd you think of Eduardo Rodriguez, Zoe? You know, he got the ball opening day. What'd you think?
Well, his knee looks good. Doesn't have that thing that slides in that groove. You know, that kneecap. Hey, we've been talking about should the Bruins be resting players?
Well, they would be going into the final week of the regular season. You're right, Zoe.
Yeah.
So you'd be asking that question. Are the Bruins, you know, prepared to rest Tuca? Would you be starting to think about your playoff takes, though, for the Bruins?
Yeah, I'd be starting to think about my playoff goalie take. Sure. I'm going to ride Tuca this time. Right.
What are you looking forward to? Do they pull Tuca? That would be a playoff opening take coming up really by the end of the week.
We'd have an interview scheduled with Brad Stevens this week where we would ask him again, Coach, when is that day coming when you would have all five starters together on the court at the same time? Celtic would be hurt.
Yep. We'd still be asking about Celtics injuries, but they'd also be coming off a week with an easy schedule and going into games against Miami and Milwaukee, and that could determine seeding in the East. That would be possible playoff matchups that would be going on. you know, who do we want the Celtics to play in the first round? Who do we want them to be able to play in the second? All that stuff would come into play.
Yep. Next week we would talk Masters.
That's right.
Right? Easter weekend.
That's right. We'll be talking about the Masters. The final, as we
Easter?
Said.
Are they moving Easter to the end of April now, too?
I don't think they are. I think okay. Easter's going to stay right where it all is. Right. Let's see. It would be the start of April, which means would you have practices going on, Zoe?
For your kids? My God. We would. Yeah, my kid would have. Oh, he would be having opening day. This Saturday would be his opening day.
But there would already have been practices of some sort for that.
Yeah.
Lacrosse. You got lacrosse in the spring.
High school lacrosse. Yeah, that's sad.
So you'd be bitching about all the time you'd spent at practices and such.
I'll tell you what, I've never done so much stuff with the damn family. Like, you notice this, like, you would go on family trips and take your vacations, but you put the kids in a kids club, or the kids would go do this together, and we go here, and we split up. Okay, we'll get back together at the hotel. Like, we don't separate now.
You don't separate inside your house?
Like, we kind of do, but it's... Okay, we'll eat together. We play games together.
Hardy, they're in this together, bro.
What games have you been playing together?
There's this new game, and maybe it's been out there for a while, but throw the burrito. It's two soft, squishy burritos. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it's a card game.
No, tell us more. Throw the burrito?
Yep.
Stuff Pac-Man. The burrito? What is it?
Pac-Man. We do apples to apples. We've done Pictionary, which is really fun. They have this Pictionary we could actually draw on the TV with a thing. Oh. It's pretty cool. So, played that. Played a couple drinking games.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Kids love those.
What? I have a question. Nobody's been able to answer this.
Mm. What?
Why are the liquor stores deemed to be open?
It's a really simple answer.
I think I know what it is. I think it's twofold, actually.
Do you really want to know the answer, though?
Yeah.
Do you know how many beds you'd take up in a hospital if all of a sudden you had alcoholics that can't get their booze?
Oh, my God. That's right.
That's number one.
Like, that's a public health reason why you'd keep it open.
That's number one. But more than as much as that, Beetle, I think it's a matter of maybe not by design. Maybe it's never said out loud. But you want people to adhere to this. You want people to remain, you know, calm.
Same.
And not panic and not keep them doped up, and you know this is the legal way of everyone. Right. It's how many people have said this? I'm drinking so much more now than I normally have. People buying a case of wine that you know would normally last them for a month is now gone in a week. Like people are
there are
doing...
people that freaked out that actually stocked up on like cases of vodka. I remember a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I started to collect paper towels. Thank God I did that. And not an absurd amount, but enough to cover our families. We got a lot of people here. But that stocked up on cases of vodka that they were worried that the liquor stores were going to close down. Like you say essential business, boom, down. You're thinking only CVS and your food store is going to be open.
But from an administrative standpoint, from like a government control standpoint, it's like, let them have their booze. Let them stay drunk and hopefully, you know, somewhat calmed down.
What would Fred do?
Let them all pass out by 11 o'clock every night. And instead, people are going to be, you know, pacing around. And the hospital bed thing, Beetle, I think you're right. I mean, there are a lot of people who get physically ill. Unfortunately, they weren't able to drink. Maybe not a huge number of, like, physically addicted alcoholics. But just, you know, for the overall, like, let's just keep everybody, like, settled down a little bit. You know, let them drink. They have to. Otherwise,
that's one thing. Like, the drinking starts earlier in the day. Because, like, you're not going anywhere. You're not driving anywhere.
Now, you probably were drinking early in the day on the weekends, though.
On the weekends, yeah.
Did you have...
Not really. No. I disagree. Not really, because we were stacked with so many games.
Stuff the burrito.
No. Sports. I'm talking sports. Like Jim Louth, who is back with the show. Corporate Jim's back today. He's back in the building. He's like his kid's coach. How many games would you have, Jim, during the week? You'd have, I remember talking to you, three or four on Sundays. Like your day's basically taken up till 4 o'clock. And then you have dinner and then, maybe start at six.
So when were you having your first drink over the weekends, though?
Over the weekend, this past weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, around four. Three or four?
I do not believe that for a second.
Yeah,
no, there's no way you were waiting until 4 o'clock before your first drink.
Oh, yeah. You're so hungover from Friday night that you can't, like, start that early. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you what, neighbors are really doing the social distancing, like the fire pits, and everybody's out in their yards. And how you guys doing over there? Why don't you guys stand there? We're going to stand here. It's, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Which is pissing me off. If we're putting, how many days do we have logged now? And then I'm sitting there watching news and watching these freaking jagoffs down at Sullivan's Castle Island, and they're lined up to go in. And they're all sitting at the round tables where we broke bread with our boss, you know, a couple months ago.
Well, we don't have it
and
on our
people walking around in the sun. And hey, how you doing here? Let me see your dog. Let me pet your dog.
The one thing that seemed to anger Zoe most yesterday,
yeah,
was the
reported
cancellation of the fireworks.
That's bullcrap.
That set you off more than anything.
Who the hell are you to start canceling 4th of July fireworks? Who knows? We might be out of this by then. Maybe not. We're really going to start canceling 4th of July stuff?
So they did officially cancel the Falmouth fireworks for the 4th of July, Zoe?
Bourne. The town of Bourne did. Not Falmouth yet.
Okay. And this is
what... Falmouth does what they want. They got people on the beaches now, lined up, cars everywhere.
The Bourne firefighters announced that on Facebook yesterday.
Yes.
So is it fair to say that angered you more than anything else over the weekend?
No, I actually got excited because they're going to send you to Atlas Pyrovision, Atlas Fireworks up over the border. There's four locations in New Hampshire. Just load up, stock up there.
But
your own fireworks.
No, you were angry about the fireworks yesterday.
Yeah, because we see them right there next to the house. Like, that's part of the process. Okay, here, boom, we got fireworks this day. And then boom, 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 boom. You see them. Marion has theirs. And then Onset has theirs. And you just see them right there. Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Right. It just seemed odd that would be the one thing that would push you over, the edge.
Yeah,
like, I can handle everything else. No restaurants, not being able to go into work, all this other stuff. But fireworks? No.
That's where I
need to push back a little bit.
I've been trying to get as much takeout to help keep these local establishments going too.
Yeah.
And tweeting out some stuff of which places are open. And
Hero.
My buddy owns one. He goes, I don't know how much longer we can do this. I feel bad for these people.
Oh yeah, they keep.
I really do, because there's people that aren't really. People think we get back to normal. Oh, we're gonna rehire all you people, and you're gonna get back up and running. I don't think that's gonna be the case. Jesus, freaking laugh back. How do you pod me down? Like, that was loud. Be a dick, Jim. Put you right back in your little office.
All right, more on this coming up. Two things that show-related, not sports-related, that we would have been talking about right now had coronavirus and this crisis not happened. We'll get to that in your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand,
the sports show radio host
on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number 2, Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zoe at home in Rentham. I'm at home in Quincy. We're doing it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.